Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This live teaching series on the unchanging love of God is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
How many of you would have to say, now you go out and tell all of your friends how wonderful your dad is and how much you spent on this bike, and you make sure you tell everybody that your bike's better than their bike and make them feel bad? Nobody ever has to do that. You know, you do just the opposite. And say, now don't go out and make all of your friends feel bad stuff. You know, don't try and tell them how much this bike costs. When a person is really excited about what they've got, you have to slow them down and give them wisdom so that they don't try and condemn other people and do stuff. If you are having to compel people to go witness for the Lord, it's because they don't know how good God is. They've never received it for themselves. It's possible that they got born again, but they got converted. They aren't a disciple. They've not understood the love of God. Once you understand the awesome love of God, I guarantee you, you will have to do something to keep that person from talking. Like I said, I got born again when I was 8 years old, the first time God ever really convicted me. And I was an introvert. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. And yet, I forced myself, I psyched myself up and made myself go witness. And I would do about 5 or 6 visits on Tuesday night and 5 or 6 visits on Thursday night. Every week of my life, I led people to the Lord from the time I was a little kid until I was in college. And I did this every time. And it was especially hard because I was an introvert. I'd have to just force myself. I had a spiel memorized. And I didn't want anybody to get me off topic because I couldn't answer a question. I wasn't responding to anybody. I'd just go up and use the Roman road. Romans 3:23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:8, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then I'd say, is there any good reason why you can't pray with me and get saved? And there's very few people that say, well, yeah, I want to go to hell. And so I'd have people repeat after me, and I'd grab their scalp, and I'd go back to church, and I'd stand up there, and they'd pat me on the back and tell about how many people I led to the Lord. I doubt if any of them, or very few of them, got born again. It wasn't about those people. It was all about me. I was trying to earn something. I was trying to do something so God would love me and accept me. And I thought I was doing something awesome because I'd witnessed to 10 people a week. And then, March the 23rd, 1968, God revealed His love to me. Now, I'd already been a Christian for 10 years. But I had an encounter where God showed me His love for me, independent of what I deserved. It wasn't based on anything. Matter of fact, it was when He showed me what a hypocrite I was, and I finally had nothing to offer God. And God's tangible love came on me for 4.5 months. I was gone someplace. And you know what? Instead of making those 10 visits a week, I quit. And see, some people think, that's what I thought. The reason I quit was because I realized I was passing up 100 people every day to go make 2 or 3 visits at night. I quit going out and knocking on doors, and I just started talking to everything that moved. I'd witness to people in 7-Eleven stores. We'd go into a restaurant, and I'd stand up and pray at the top of my lungs and bless the food and everybody in the whole restaurant. And when they get through, they'd look at me and I'd say, hey, you need your food blessed too. Amen. Now let me just say, that's not the way to do it. But I'm saying, see, I just had a desire. I witnessed to everything that moved. I actually at one time made a decision. I would never see a person that I didn't talk to him about Jesus. And you know what? That's impossible to keep. I remember when I got drafted and was standing in attention in the Army, and I saw thousands of people marching by, and I thought, I don't think I can keep that commitment. Amen. How do I do this? And I had to finally realize I can't do that. But for about a year or two, I tried it. I witnessed to everything that moved. Every person I saw, I talked to. I quit making 10 visits a week, and I started making over 100 visits a day because of the love of God. I don't know if I'm getting across what I'm trying to say to you, but you can't give away what you don't have. And many people don't really have a revelation of how much God loves you. It's been misrepresented. It's been presented as a conditional love. And because of that, you are treating other people basically the way you think God's treating you, which is not very good. And you only treat people good when they deserve to be treated good, because that's the way you think God's treating you. And that's not true. And this is the reason that people don't know that we are His disciples, because we aren't operating in an unconditional kind of love. Man, there's so much fighting and bickering. Sad to say, the church is where a tremendous amount of strife and fighting is. And this is specifically talking about that this is how they will know you're My disciples, by your love one for another. This isn't just talking about love for the lost. That is a good thing, but this is talking about love among brothers, among Christians. This is how the world will know that we are His disciples, when we love each other the way that Jesus loved us. You know, right now, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, doesn't matter, but you see these presidential elections going, and the Republicans are just beating up on each other. I think Obama must be sitting there liking all of this, amen. He doesn't have to do anything. They're doing it to themselves. And in a sense, this is what the church is doing. I'm sure that the devil probably sits down and thought, I never thought of doing that. Look at how they are criticizing each other. They're arguing over the color of the carpet. They're arguing over whether it's pews or chairs. I would have never thought. Probably the devil takes notes on how Christians get mad at each other and some of the stuff that they do. We're supposed to be loving one another. And yet there is a tremendous amount of division in the body of Christ. Did you know that the first century church didn't have any of the advantages that we've got? Man, I'm on television and reach half of the world's population. Over 3.2 billion people can watch my program on a daily basis. Paul never had that. Paul never had CDs, books. The only tracks that anybody ever saw of Paul's were the ones he left. And yet Paul turned the world right side up in 30 years. The body of Christ had basically evangelized the known world in 30 years without printed page, without television, without media, without Facebook, without Twitter, without the internet, without any of this stuff. They made a bigger impact on their society than our church has made on our society. And you know why? Because Jesus said, "This is how all men," talking about even unbelievers, "will know that you are My disciples, that you have love one for another." And there is so much division in the body of Christ. Did you know back in the beginning, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Colossae, the church, one church in one place. Ephesus, I don't know exactly how big that place was, but they had this amphitheater there that sat nearly 100,000 people, and it has been estimated that the body of Christ, the church in Ephesus, during the time of John, when he was there, he died in that area, and Timothy was the first bishop of the church of Ephesus, and I've read commentaries that they estimate there was at least a minimum of 50,000 Christians in Ephesus, on up to 100,000 Christians, and there was only one church. They didn't have one place that they met in. They met in maybe 1,000 different homes, but there was one church. Timothy was the bishop over it. There was only one church in one place. They were all united. And there was problems. You can read about it in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And Paul talked about, I know that there's grievous wolves going to come in and they're going to say this. And you had to deal with it. It wasn't perfect, but they were in unity, and as a result, that generation basically evangelized the known world. Today, we are so fragmented. There are churches across the street from each other, and the people in one church have never even met the people in another church. It's not exactly having the same love for each other that Jesus had for us. Think about this logistically. Let's say that God gave me a message for Houston. And if this was a God-given message and God spoke to me, appeared to me in a vision and told me exactly what to say, how would I get that message out to the body of Christ? The church is so fragmented that I could go to some of these big churches that have 15, 20,000 people in it and I could reach a certain segment, but there would be other parts of the body of Christ in Houston that would never hear about it. I could spend the rest of my life hitting every church in the Houston area and never get this message to every person in Houston because it's so divided. That is not what God intended. He intended for us to be one, to love each other as Christ loved the church. And yet most of us have grown up with this division. We just have embraced it as being normal. Many people have never even questioned it. And I'll tell you this, I don't have an answer for this. I'm describing something here that in a sense is creating a problem because I don't have a solution to how we get all the people that are so split and divided into all of these groups operating as one. But I can show you from Scripture that this is how Jesus said that we would win the world is by our love. When they saw that we loved one another as Christ loved us, then the world would know we were His disciples. If we ever become one, then the world will be one. W-O-N. The greatest tool for evangelism is the love among believers and our commitment to each other. Man, that's awesome. And you know what? You won't hear this very often.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the unconditional love of God. This 5-part teaching series titled, As I Have Loved You, is available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1077 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RG23 titled A New Commandment when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I just would like to encourage you to help us get the gospel out through social media. We've sent out over 42,000 ministry responses to people who have contacted us through social media, and we would just like to see this increase. So we would like to see you like our Facebook page to share it with other people. We've had 9 salvations that we know of. Of course, there could be a lot more. 13 people baptized in the Holy Spirit, and many testimonies of healings and things that have happened through our live stream broadcast. So we would like to ask you to take just a few seconds to share our Facebook page, and you be a minister of the gospel by sharing this with someone else.